But now it's time for Saturday Night Theatre.
A Coat of Many Colours by Jim Crace. On January the 26th, 1885, the siege of Khartoum ended. The town was taken, and General Charles Gordon, its defender, was killed. Virtually the whole of the Sudan was now in the hands of the Mahdi and his dervish disciples. It wasn't until 13 years later that the country, the first in Africa to drive out a foreign occupation, was reconquered. In the meantime, a small border garrison with British officers waited patiently at Aswan, on the Egyptian edge of the Sudanese desert.
Queen sheep ride when brave Gordon he died, and Khartoum fell to the Mahdi. Mr. Gladstone, she said, General Gordon is dead. Why didn't you send him our army? Why didn't you send him our army? Mr. Gladstone replied, Mom, if I'd known he'd have died, I'd have gone to his aid in a chariot. But now I'll sit in state on a red hot plate between Pilate and Judas Iscariot. Between Pilate and Judas Iscariot.
Good show, Harry. If they ever throw you out of the army,
God forbid,
you'll make a fortune in the music hall.
Oh, you think so, Archie?
Oh,
well, then how about another drink to launch my new career?
Yeah, here.
Yes, why not? Where's that damn waiter?
Oh, three guesses.
Ah, nose in dirt drunk, nose in dirt sleeping, nose in dirt allaring at Mecca.
Always down on their knees when a chap needs a drink.
Yes. Oh, send the post into the Sudan. That'll speed him up.
Oh, no, Effendi, please don't send me Sudan. It's a terrible place.
No, that won't work, George. You make him pray all the more.
Oh, Lord, yes.
They tell me these fellows have only got two prayers. One, that they won't die without seeing Mecca, and two, that they will die without seeing Sudan.
He'll have a third prayer if he doesn't look sharp. He'll be praying for his job back.
We could write to the dervishes and offer to swap him for Slatty.
Mm.
Now, they say he's made a good servant for the Arabs, and he's a white man.
Yes.
One of theirs for one of ours. Fair exchange, eh?
Swapping for who?
Slatin, Abdel Kader, Salatin, or whatever he calls himself these days.
Is he still a prisoner, Rudolf Slatin?
Of course he is, old man, unless he's dead.
Yes, he could be dead. 12 years with a dervish is a long time. In 1883, they took him after the Battle of Darfur, the beginning of the Mahdi's revolt.
Yeah, I remember it.
You were still in your perambulator, George.
Oh, not quite. But I was still at school, and I do remember all the hoo-ha. Slatin being taken, and the fall of Khartoum, and the murder of Gordon. All good schoolboy stuff. Yeah, wasn't there some sort of scandal or other?
Well, they said at the time that if Slatin had been a gentleman, he'd have settled for being a corpse rather than a prisoner.
If he'd been an Englishman, you mean?
I thought he was dead.
Well, they made a Muslim of him just as bad.
Worse.
Must be the only Austrian since Noah's flood to be called Abdel Kader, slave of God, poor chap.
And he's a servant of the dervishes, you say?
Well, so the rumours this week go. Well, last week they said he drowned himself in the Nile. And the week before that, he'd escaped and turned up in Zanzibar. And before that, he was making his fortune with a Viennese pastry shop in Omdurman. And before that, he'd become a Muslim fanatic and gone on the Hajj to Mecca. Why, you never can tell with these Europeans, George.
Well, if he has survived, he's a brave fellow.
Yes, and he'll be a rich one.
Oh, how's that?
Well, he's got a good story to tell, that's how. Huh? Mystery man, you see.
Oh, I see.
They say he was the last white man to see Gordon when they took Khartoum in 85. He'll have a tale to tell if they ever let him go.
Make another fortune, I shouldn't wonder, on top of his pastry shop. Well, where's that damn waiter? What's his damn name?
Oh, try Mohammed. They've all got a Mohammed somewhere.
Mohammed! Mohammed, curse you. We're thirsty, do you hear? Well, where have you been, Mecca?
There is a man outside who asked to seek your excellency.
Yeah, there's three men in here who need a drink. Make it snappy, eh?
He's waiting.
Who, damn it?
This man.
Well, I'm damned if he can't wait. Who is he? What does he want?
Drinks! Now, understand?
And don't come back without the soda.
Ah, they've no idea, some of them.
We wasted good men on him, Archie. Not only Gordon. I mean, what the hell are we doing here? I mean, we should leave the Arab to it. Let him fight it out with his own chaps. Let the dervish have the Sudan, is what I say. I mean, what's there to fight over?
Damn.
Let him keep it. Welcome to it. I'd sooner sit around here in Aswan and drink beer.
Brandy?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Ah, at last. Good man, good man. The drinks, gentlemen, have arrived.
Time.
That's better. Now then, What about this man of yours, Mohammed? What does he say?
He does not say anything. He is a wretched poor man, and he is dirty. He is squatting outside.
Squatting, eh? Well, what do you say? Have a shifty, shall we?
Might as well, Harry. Could be entertaining.
Yes, yes, all right, Mohammed. Call him in. There's a good chap.
Father.
Oh, good Lord, just a dirty little Arab, Harry, on the scrounge, I'll wager. Look, good Lord, he's got no shoes.
That's probably a beggar. Well, what do you want? Who are you?
Abdel Kadir.
Yes, well, what's your business? Look, old chap, we don't have all day. What is it you want?
I am Abdel Kadir.
Yes, 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 man, we do have ears. What do you want? What's your tribe? Do you speak English?
Won't work, is that it?
Or shoes, is it?
Wait a minute, Harry. Have you any other name?
God.
Are you Saladin?
Yes, I am Saladin.
Ah, Saladin, did I wake you?
No, it's all right. Come in. What have you there?
Change of clothes. It's the best we could do, I'm afraid. It's an Italian captain's dress uniform.
Oh, more disguises.
Well, we thought Italy does share a border with Austria. It's the nearest we could get. Well, then, I'll leave you to it.
No, my friend, sit down. Please, David. Clothes are fine. Excuse me, but you will understand. I know that everything is muddled at the moment.
Yes, of course. I'm so sorry.
So, what must I do?
Well, we'll be serving dinner in about 20 minutes.
I am the guest of honor, fatted calf. I must appear decked out as a Sicilian mercenary. Well then, so be it. I'd better shave, hadn't I? The beard is hardly appropriate.
I'll call the servant to shave you, sir.
No, too much bustle. You stay. You shave. Can you do that for me?
Well... Why not? I can't guarantee not to cut you there, sir.
Oh, go ahead. Cut my throat.
Would you sit here then, sir?
What a return to Christian civilization. The servant is served.
Lift your chin, sir.
Well, my friend, if we are to share such an intimacy as shaving, I should at least know your name.
It's Chesney, sir. George Chesney.
Have you been here long?
Oh, good Lord, no, sir. 3 months. This is my first commission. Now, turn your face a little towards the window, would you? That's it. Now then, sir, am I to shave you clean, or will you keep your side whiskers and moustaches? They are the fashion in Europe.
Are they indeed? Then sculpt me some, my dear Chesney. I must appear a gentleman, even though I am not one.
Oh, come, sir.
Ah, Slatin, that's it. Getting spruced up, eh? Uniform all right, is it? Nearest we could get to an Austrian officer.
Yes. Yes, it is perfect, I thank you.
Well, come and eat. Cook's pulled something special out of the bag. Bit of a celebration, eh? Well, the chaps are dying to hear your experiences and whatnot. Well, see you down there, then.
Yes, of course, thank you. Just give me a few moments to dress. Settle myself.
Naturally, old chap, I understand. In your own time, Chesney will see you get anything you want. Righto, then.
You hear that, Chesney? The vultures are gathering, poor fellows. What were they expecting at their dinner? An Austrian Christian gentleman? A hero like Gordon? But you know, my friend, I'm none of these. No Christian, no gentleman, no hero, no Gordon. But they want a hero's tale. So, shall I give it them?
Just give us the tale of your escape, sir.
Oh, you mean my flight.
Don't mock yourself. Be proud. No one else has escaped across the sand from the Dervish Empire. In the whole 12 years since the fall of Sudan, you were the first.
I'm sorry that you have been kept waiting. Perhaps I should apologize for my lethargy.
Oh, please believe me, sir. I have nothing but admiration for your stoicism, for your suffering. I mean, who am I?
No, I understand, Chesney. Say no more.
Look, sir, just relax. You have escaped. We're white men, Englishmen. You're among friends. You can have nothing to hide from us. Be happy to be among your own people.
Own people? I have no people. I have only myself.
I mean men of your own kind, sir.
Oh, But there are none.
Well, look, sir, best to take it easy for a bit, I think. Don't talk. Just rest and calm yourself. You've had a rough time, but you'll pull through. You'll survive.
Oh, yes. And do you know why? Because I'm a Christian, a gentleman, and a hero? Never. Heroes do not survive in this century. Am I right, Chesney?
Of course, of course.
Where is the all-knowing, the all-conquering Mahdi now? Where is your blue-eyed Gordon? Where are all those heroes, so sure of themselves and their faith that they won't budge an inch, not even to duck as the sword edge sweeps through the air to take off their heads? Well, where are they, Chesney? Where are they?
I think, sir, that I'm expected to say that they are dead.
Exactly. And where is Saladin, the little Austrian governor who they told 12 years ago on the night before the battle with the Mahdi, beware, you will not live to see another sunset. He survived.
Saladin, you should come out and enjoy the sunset.
I've seen enough sunsets, Hamed. I have work to do.
This sunset you should not miss.
Is it so beautiful, Hamed?
No, but it's the last that we shall see.
Why, Hamed? Why do you say that?
Because I know it. The Mahdi's army is massing like a cloud of locusts. Tomorrow it will settle here and there will be no man to defend you.
I have an army of trained men.
You have an army of frightened men. Tomorrow this province will fall and so will you. I tell you so that you may speak with your God.
How can the dervish cut me down so easily? What has changed? They failed before, didn't they? And they will fail again. Didn't I survive a dervish spear in my thigh? And another here, so deep in my knee that I have a blue scar for both the entry and the exit of the blade.
You walk with a limp.
Yes, but still my heart beats. Ahmed, we cannot be beaten. We are too old and wise to lose a game of strategy.
The men are too burdened by fear to win.
The trained soldier does not fear a rabble. We have the square. Fanaticism cannot break a square.
Superstition can, Saladin Pasha. Superstition can crack stones. It can dry rivers.
It cannot win battles, Ahmed. Not against strategy.
Yeah.
Why do you laugh?
Christian. Nazarene.
Why mock my religion, Ahmed?
Because that is what the men do not trust. Your men are Muslims, Saladin Pasha, true believers. They understand Muslim superstition more than Christian strategy. Your talkative little god has much to teach you.
Well, let my talkative little servant teach me. You, Ahmed, you teach me superstition.
I will teach, and you must learn. Today, some men went to a village to find water. The women there were rejoicing. They had found some hen's eggs, just laid, warm from the nest, with the word Mahdi written on the shells. Today, we caught a man close to the camp. He had fought with the Mahdi in battle and told how all the bullets of the unbelievers had turned to water and how no true believer could come to harm in battle.
I do not take note of superstition. I cannot see it.
Then take note of the superstitious. You can see them. And take note, too, of what it is you fight for. Is it for this forest of gum trees and scrub that you ask men to give their lives? Or for the fruits of the earth? The Sodom apples, which are a feast for the eyes, but bitter poison for the tongue. The dopams that mock the starving with wooden fruit. Or perhaps for the rich herds of livestock, the plagues of locusts, the armies of termites, the godless clouds of bugs, the treacherous nests of snakes and scorpions.
Ahmed, you paint a picture of hell on earth. There is more to this land than that.
But where? They cannot see it. Should they lay down their lives for drought? Should they orphan their children for the pitiless furnace of the sun? Should they widow their wives for this never-ending treadmill of sand?
For what, then?
For the heart. Nothing else can flourish here. The heart is green with God and fear and superstition. Against that, your square is nothing. Understand what you are fighting and why your men are fearful.
They are always fearful. This is a land of fear. I have fears myself. The sudden violence, the nameless diseases, the heat of the day, the cold of the night.
Yes, but these are old fears. What of the new fear? The prophet of God. God's own hand.
The Mahdi. You believe this of the Mahdi?
When I was a child in Pasha, and my father sat before me with the open Quran and made me remember the passages and repeat them to him, it was nothing but a task to me.
I suffered the same, Hamid, with the verses of the Bible. Our religions share habits.
A child grows from habit into belief. But I listened and learned because of the promises. Each night, my father ended with the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad. He told me that an expected one, a Mahdi, had withdrawn, untouched by death, into the recesses of a mountain. He was ready to emerge again from his mystical concealment on the word of God to cleanse and restore the world and lead his followers to victory on earth and paradise in heaven. Who is this man, I would ask? Will I know him? And then my father would tell me the traditions that had grown up around the expected one. He told me that the Mahdi would be descended from Hassan al-Askari, the 12th Imam of Islam. He would have the holy falja, a gap between his front teeth.
In Europe, that is a sign of lust.
Oh, perhaps it was a sign of nothing. I am just telling what I was told and came to expect. He would have a dark birthmark on his right cheek. All these things were told me many years ago when I was a child, and the Quran was a task to me.
And is this your superstition?
Listen, and then tell me that I have no cause. When I was young, I heard of a boy who, at the age of 9, had learned the whole of the Quran and would repeat it faultlessly.
So many boys can.
He had the falja and the dark birthmark and the names of his forefathers. I am Muhammad Ahmed, son of Sayyid Abdullah, son of Fal, who was the son of Abdullah, son of Muhammad.
Ah, a catalogue of coincidence.
And when this boy becomes a youth and then a man, he calls the sheikhs to him and pledges to purge the true faith of its worldliness. And he falls into trances and sees visions and wins great battles and brings the tribes to his side. And you wonder that I do not say, I do not believe.
And do you believe?
I am a Muslim, Salatin. I dare not decide any more than any other man. Any other Muslim man. Squares are not made from indecision.
I am decided. And the men will trust my decision. They have fought for me before against Muslims, though I am a Christian.
They have fought for land or money. They have not fought before in a holy war for a place in heaven. But
if I were a Muslim too, and what does that mean?
It means that Ahmed is tired, and that Saladin should think for himself. I must pray and then sleep. Masalam, Saladin Baja. Is I well?
Good night, Ahmed. A holy war, a place in heaven, eh? There are so many exits. But there's a damned god at every gate. Oh, so be it, so be it. Let me scurry from this god to the next. They'll none of them keep me.
Did you call, Pasha?
No, no.
I'm sorry, Pasha, you are praying.
Yes, talking to myself.
Am I to stay or sleep with the other women tonight?
Ahmed tells me we are to lose tomorrow.
Perhaps. As Allah wishes.
And that I will die.
It is in the hands of Allah.
Listen, Desta. Come here, listen. There is a way out, and I have decided to take it. Let me tell you something about myself.
I am only your servant, Basha.
Shh, you share my bed. Why should you not share a little of my heart?
All men open their hearts on the night before battle, but to their god, not to their woman.
Well, I would rather talk to my little Desta than to my god. At least I can rely on attentive ears.
Tell me, all you know about my god.
Your god did not create the desert. He does not understand the hard ways of our land. Your god is Jehovah, and you, Basha, are a Christian.
But I am not. I am your half-cousin. I am a Jew.
But why? How is that?
In my home country, Desta, the Jews are hated. It is not easy for them. My family was born to the Jewish faith, and so they were born to suffer.
All people are born to suffer.
Here in the desert, maybe, but not in Europe. We are more selective there. My parents were born to suffer. So they suffered and waited. But their God did not come to help them, and so their faith in God fled. Why suffer for a God when your faith in him has fled? Why suffer to attain his heaven when for you there is no heaven outside this earth in which one suffers? My family thought and decided. They abandoned their God as he had abandoned them. I was 4 years old. I had been circumcised at birth, and now I was christened. An altogether less painful experience, less suffering, you understand, less permanent. We became Christians. Life was easier. We no longer suffered. Tell me, Desta, were we wrong? Were we wrong to change coats to suit the climate?
In the religion of Allah, half-cousin, the punishment for the traitor to Islam is death.
And what is the reward for the convert to Islam?
Eternity in paradise.
Suppose that I now turn to Muhammad. Would my men believe in me then? Would that give them confidence for victory?
Of course. But will you change your faith from conviction?
I will change my faith because Christianity does not serve me. The simple fact is, my patient Desta, that I have not been sent to the Sudan as a Christian missionary, but as an official of the Egyptian government. I am an emissary of the Khedive, of God.
But you must not reject your God.
You have said my God does not understand the desert.
Yes, but...
But Allah does understand the desert, does he not?
Allah, be praised, he does. But you will not gain heaven so easily.
Heaven is far off, Desta. The battle is tomorrow.
But without conviction, there can be no salvation.
Oh, there are many routes to salvation, as many of you can imagine. One just has to squeeze past gods to get at them.
God is too great to squeeze past.
No, Desta. I have decided. You are an intelligent woman. You know. Here, conviction has nothing to do with the case. In this life, and most probably the next, one has often to do things which are contrary to one's persuasion. I shall be quite content if the soldiers believe me and abandon their superstitions. Whether others believe me or not is a matter of indifference. I thank you for listening.
Master?
In the morning, at first light, I will assemble the men and borrow their god for the day. At least it won't be necessary for them to take the knife tonight. Come, Desta, stay with me. Still nothing is sure. Perhaps this will be our last night together.
Do not say so, Basha. Have faith.
Soldiers! We have passed through many hard times together.
Yes, Abu, yes.
We fight for our master, the Khedive, and for our lives. I have shared with you your joys and your sorrows. Where danger was to be faced, I was there with you. Although I am your chief, my life at such times is of no more value than yours. I hear that I am considered a foreigner and an unbeliever. You also all belong to different tribes. My birthplace is far away, it is true, but I am not a foreigner. I am not an unbeliever. I am as much a believer as you. Ashhadu la ilaha illallah wa inna Muhammad Rasulallah. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. From now on, I will attend prayers with you and take as my name Abd El Kadir! Grave of God!
So I bade farewell to my old god and said Salaam alaikum to the new. Allah. Bismillah. Rahman Rahim.
Oh, this will never do, Slatin. Look here. Only half shaved, I must be the slowest barber in Egypt. Now, just tilt your head a little, will you? Oh, that's fine. Fine.
My revelations embarrass you, do they?
No. But I do think, Slatin, that you're putting yourself in a bit of a bad light.
Bad? Why bad?
Well, you make out your motives to be entirely base. I mean, entirely dishonorable. Yet you must have known that you were at God's work.
What work?
Well, saving the Sudan from the dervishes.
Ah.
And you were determined to keep on fighting. I mean, that was start of you.
It was foolhardy, Chesney.
You mean your conversion had no effect?
On the contrary. The men now fought hard for me. I was another Muslim, a brother in faith. No more talk of desertion or defeat. We fought like lions for our places in heaven. Every slice of dervish flesh sinking us deeper into paradise. But in the end, we lost, naturally.
Ah, but the battle was lost in the field, not in the spirit.
It was lost in the stomach, Chesney. We had no food. The spirit, I'm afraid, thrives only on bellyfuls of food.
Well, couldn't you slaughter your camels?
All eaten long ago. And the donkeys, and the dogs, and the rats, and the mice, and the lizards. And then we dined on crickets, termites, and cockroaches.
Cockroaches?
Oh, yes. They scurry away like nervous cats. You exhaust yourself, catching 100 a day, and still your stomach cries out for more. And those of us too weak to scurry after beetles, those purged bamboo thin by dysentery, scurvy, and fear, fell dead in the streets, and the carrion kites feasted on them and were so gorged with human flesh that they could do nothing but flap into the arms of my loyal, starving soldiers and be eaten themselves.
But you held on.
We were too weak. So even that, when the kites are gone, and there was only gum and leather left to eat, then the Mahdists descended on our camp, and it was all over. The suffering and the waiting.
Blessed relief in a way.
The English gentleman would have fought them to the last. He would have surrendered to his fate, head bowed down to the executioner, his soul one blow away from paradise. But I had another plan, another salvation. Head bowed, I surrendered to the Mahdi.
Very well, Ahmed. Inform my men and our dervish conquerors that Saladin Pasha is ready to grovel.
No, Saladin Pasha. I will tell them that Abdel Kadir is ready to submit to the will of God. That is your name. Remember it.
So be it, Ahmed, so be it, Abdel Kadir. But whatever the title, I am the same man, and the same job must be done. The same bridges must be crossed and destroyed. So,
true God, whichever you are, let me succeed
Abdel
in this.
Abdel Kadir will speak to you now.
Friends, old and new, salam alaikum.
Alaikum wassalam.
I ask you to listen to the words which I send to the Mahdi. In the name of the most merciful Allah, from the slave of God, Abdel Kadir, to Sayyid Muhammad al-Mahdi, may Allah protect him and confound his enemies. Allah's will cannot be fought against. I therefore declare that I submit to it and to you. You understand these words. The fighting is over. We have fought hard, but now the peace of Allah is with us. Now it is my duty to call upon our Mahdi's victor, Madibo, and through him to offer our surrender to the new master, Muhammad's only successor. Madibo.
Greetings, Abdel Kadir.
You are an old friend. Though we have fought each other, I give you my sword and gun. May all men do likewise.
Disarm them. I accept your surrender, and you as a prisoner of the Mahdi.
It is your duty. And you have
done it with kindness, Madibo. I fought against the government, but not against you personally. Allah knows, I have never forgotten that you were once friendly to me. Therefore, let anger depart from your heart and be a brother to me.
I am not at all angry with you. Still, it is hard to have to bear all that has now happened. But I suppose it must be.
Not so. I am only a plain man, but listen to me. Now, come. We will be heard. Abdelkadir, life will not be easy for you. If there is anything...
Yes, there is something. I have two servants. Hamid, who you have met, and a girl named Desta. I would not wish them to suffer because of me.
It can be arranged that they are returned to their families and their villages.
They will not go, Madibo. They are determined to stay by my side.
I see no problem for Hamid. He is old and wise enough to hold his tongue. But the girl... No. She will be taken into the Mahdi's household. And if she has any beauty, into his harem.
Can I do nothing?
If she will not return to her own people, then nothing. Unless, of course, you took her as a wife.
A wife?
I gather from your concern, Abdelkadir, and her determination to stay close to you, that she's more than just a servant.
Yes, that is true.
Well, then, she's already your wife in private. Make her so in public also, and she will always be at your side. Marriage is an easy thing. And so, my friend, should your fortunes change, is divorce.
Thank you, Madibo. You are a true brother. Your advice is good, and I will take it. Desta shall be my wife. At least I can have some comforts in my captivity.
I'll settle these affairs quickly, then you must leave soon for the Mahdi's camp. There you'll meet the Khalifa Abdullahi, who is next in power to the Mahdi, and a cunning, clever man.
Friend Madibo, I regret that I do not have the freedom to serve you with my thanks.
Do not talk of freedom, but listen to me. Be obedient and patient. Practice this virtue, for it is written, Allah is with the patient. Be very careful, hold your tongue, and trust no one. Obey everyone, Salatin. Obey everyone.
So, that's it, Chesney. Obedience, the key to survival, the better half of valor.
Yes, but obedience tempered by something else, surely.
What else?
Well, one could not go against one's principles, or one's country, or one's family, even, in order to obey, just obey.
Well, it depends who's doing the ordering.
Well, I'm not so sure.
Well, God, for example?
Well, God, yes.
Give your life, my son, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Would you obey?
Well, if I was convinced that it was the word of God, then of course I would, yes.
And if it was the word of your commanding officer?
Yes, again, of course, of course.
Chesney, crazy fellow. I do believe you would. You would sacrifice your life in order to obey. Just obey.
I am a soldier. I have taken the Queen's commission. I have sworn on oath. But the obedience of which you talk was lavished on dervishes, men to whom you owed no allegiance, for whom you had no loyalty.
I am loyal to my own and freshly shaven skin.
And God and country? They are secondary?
No, not secondary. Just rather less worldly than I. They cannot be whipped.
Slatin! Chesney! All right, are we? Well, well, Slatin, what a transformation. Yes, indeed. No mistaking you for an Arab now, is there, what?
I look the part.
The very devil of a gentleman, sir.
Oh, indeed. Thanks to Chesney's coiffure, no doubt.
Well, I'm glad to see such a dab hand with the strop and razor. Just one small cut. Bravo, George.
He has been most patient.
Harry, Slatin has been telling us some of his experiences. I really think perhaps it might be better.
No. Don't tell me. They want to spoil Slatin's little speech. Well, then, coming down, are you?
I hope that I won't be a disappointment. Perhaps it would be better if I didn't make my little speech after all.
Nonsense, old chap.
Slatin might have a point, Harry.
What? No. Nothing to worry about. Chaps won't be wanting anything too elaborate.
He is rather wearied.
Well, yes, you must be tired. But you'll see you'll be a different man with a good cigar and a drop of best port in your veins. Go down, shall we? Chaps will be drooling over their soup. Can't dig in without the guest of honour, can we?
Oh, please, go ahead without me.
Without you? Oh, nonsense, old chap. This is your night. Feeling all right, are you? Must be hungry. How long is it since you ate a proper meal?
I had dates and honey water this morning.
Oh, no, no, no. I mean real food, European food. How long is it?
12 years.
12 years? There. Well, I reckon you've earned a bit of a beano.
Ah, on our way, are we, Harry?
I think Slattin's a bit down in the dumps, Archie.
As well, bound to be, bound to be.
Bit of stage fright, I think.
Look, yes. Fellas, I'm not so sure that what Slattin has to recount is really quite super.
Chesney, you're making Slattin unduly nervous, I think. They're soldiers down there, not a bunch of Miss Nightingale's weak-bellied nurses. Here, Slattin, take my arm.
Thank you. Oh, I feel so weak.
This is going to be quite an event for us, you know, Slattin. Not often we get a visitor here.
You're very kind.
All right, old chap. Now, you're on your own. Can't go in arm in arm, you know what I mean? Ready and steady, are you?
Yes, thank you. I'm fine. Chesney, sit by me, will you?
Yes, of course. I think I'd better than that.
Gentlemen, it is my pleasure to present to you Rudolf Slattin. He has just arrived with us after an heroic escape across the desert from the dervish. After dinner, he has kindly offered to give us a short talk on his years in captivity and his dramatic escape. Slattin Pasha.
Abdul Kadir, wake up. Here, drink this. Hung water. It will refresh you.
Who is it?
Just drink.
Salam, Khalifa Abdullahi. Salam, great general.
Allah be praised. We are at last united.
On your feet, dog. You think you are still governor of Darfur and can laze on your back? Stand, or you will be whipped to your feet.
So, here is an old friend from the past. Nur, you scoundrel.
Silent. Do not speak. Only answer.
Welcome, then. Are you well and contented with your fate?
Well, indeed. Allah be praised.
Sit again and rest more. I will sit with you for a while and conduct my duties here. There is a man who must be dealt with. Bring him, Nur.
Yeah.
Well, Abdul Kadir, is this another old friend? You know him?
Yes.
His name?
An Egyptian officer, my lieutenant, Major Hamadar.
And what is his crime?
He says he has no money.
Is that a crime?
His servant woman tells another tale. Come, tell the Caliph Abdullahi.
My master has many riches.
What riches?
Gold and silver.
Where is this gold and silver?
He has it buried.
He will not say where.
Tell us.
I gave him 3,000 lashes in 3 days. Marcel, the Egyptian, hawks the gold himself.
Yes, I have enough gold to stop your mouth. It is buried and it will stay buried.
Beware, Hamada, or you will join it.
The gold is no longer yours. You are a prisoner of the Mahdi. And what was yours is now his. You cannot hide the truth from the expected one.
But I can hide my gold from an imposter.
You call the Mahdi an imposter? His blasphemer should be hanged and left to the dogs. Praise be to Allah. The Mahdi is no imposter. He has the holy powder. He has the birthmark. He fulfills all the prophecies, all the requirements of the prophets.
Is that so? Has the Euphrates dried up and revealed the hell of gold? Has contradiction and difference seized upon the world?
Not yet, Hamada, not yet. But they will.
And crocodiles will drink the Nile dry.
And you will be hanged for your blasphemy.
Oh, don't go too far, Noor. Remember who you are.
I remember who you are, Saladin.
You forget, Noor, that it was I who once secured your release from prison in Khartoum, and that even the horse you ride was a gift from me when you were happy to serve.
It was Allah who released me. And it is Allah, not you, who has given me your horse to ride.
It is not the work of Allah to put a stallion into the keeping of an ass.
Wise, Hamada.
I will not humble myself, Abdul Qadir. I spit on you.
Three
thousand of these mongrel lashes have not opened my mouth. My body's flayed like raw meat, but my resolve is as hard and perfect as a river stone.
Then, let us leave the stone and spice the meat. Nur,
yes.
Bring water. We will wash his wounds.
Here, Abdullah.
And salt and pepper. The salt for his silver. pepper for his gold.
It is that.
Pour it on his wounds.
Yes, kill me. Kill me. Better be dead than a slave. What is mine, I take it with me. You will not have it. I take it with me. Pain is nothing. I have a place now with Allah in paradise. None of your pain in heaven. No place for you in heaven, Abdul Qadir. You must suffer to gain Allah's paradise. No place there for the oily tongue. No place for Abdul Qadir, who wears his guards where he wears his smiles.
In the name of Allah, the merciful, the compassionate, I beg of you, great and holy Khalifa, spare his life. For the sake of our old friendship, I pray you to forgive him and hand him over to me.
Abdul Qadir, you know us well. We have a saying, the dog that grovels is the dog that gets the bone.
There is no place for groveling in my life. Never. Never.
No, not you, Hamada. Abdul Qadir, if you want this wretch, then humble yourself. Prostrate yourself at my feet.
I do it gladly.
Flat on the ground, not kneeling. Lay face down and place your hands on the Khalifa's feet.
It is only for your sake that I will free Hamada. Stand and take your bone.
The Egyptian is already dead.
And his gold dies with him.
You have shamed yourself for nothing. Abdul Qadir, better to have held your tongue. Unless, perhaps, you have your own pot of gold and silver buried.
I have nothing. All that was mine is now the Mahdi's.
So, what of Desta?
Who?
There is a girl, Khalifa. His whore. A girl called Desta.
She is my wife.
Your wife?
His whore. He married her only when the battle was lost, so that they could continue to live in luxury as neighbors to the Mahdi.
Is this true? You know that we scored the lecture with whip of rhinoceros hide. Answer carefully, Abdul Qadir.
I beg your forgiveness.
But will you persist in your sinfulness?
How can I? What was mine is yours. I include Desta, my wife.
Then call her to us. Tell her so.
Desta! Desta!
What has happened? Who is this dead man?
It is Hamada. He died of obstinacy, Desta.
Al-Barakafik.
Ah, woman, so you are a believer, a Muslim. You do know the ways of Allah and his laws. Then there is no excuse for you.
Why?
Stay silent, Desta.
Abdul Qadir was born far away. He is a foreigner and he is a man, so he may be forgiven. But you have been created woman by Allah, and you have fouled your body.
I have done nothing.
You have been a whore to this Christian.
Tell them, husband, that we are married in the eyes of Allah. We are man and wife.
You were his whore before you were his wife.
Speak for me, husband.
Your husband is no longer your master. I am your master. You are to be taken as the commonest servant in my household.
Never! Never! My place is my husband's household.
Do as the Khalifa says, Desta. You have been my servant and now you are his. A great honor to serve such a man.
What? Will you not speak for me?
I have spoken.
And is that all you can say? Will you let your wife be taken from you so easily?
You were not taken. You were given freely. I am a prisoner now. I have no power. I can have no property.
I beg you, husband, to plead for me.
Desta, be wise. Hold your tongue or your body will join Hamada. Obey and long life will be your reward.
Abdul Qadir advises wisely. Come, woman.
Leave me. I want to stay with you. Long life is nothing without honor.
It is everything. What is honor without life?
It is all that I have.
You threw off your honor when you stood naked before this Christian dog.
You call him a Christian. Christian, Muslim, Christian, Muslim. You. He is nothing. He is a kite that hovers with the wind.
Desta, Desta, listen to me. You must do as you are bid. Neither you nor I can defy the will of Allah.
Am I to be taken as a slave without a word from my husband, whom I have always been willing to serve with my life? Is that the will of Allah?
It is. We will gain nothing from flying into the hurricane, Desta. A kite has learned that, and so should we. Look at Hamada there, lifeless, dead, and unburied in the sand where he has fallen. See his broken wings. No, as you love Allah, love your new master, the Khalifa Abdullahi. Take her. Take her away.
Come, come, come.
We will live long, Desta.
But we will not live forever, Abdul Qadir. We will not live forever.
Good.
I thank you.
see. This is the man who was formerly our master. Now he is my servant and must obey my commands at all times. See, this is the man who once indulged in the pleasures and vices of the world. And now he has to wear an unwashed jibba and walk barefoot. Allah is indeed merciful and gracious.
So, Chesney, I was a servant to the Khalifa and a single man once more.
Surely you could have done something for your... well, for your wife. I mean, surely...
Oh, yes, of course. There were a thousand options. I could have punched that blackguard Noor on his great eagle nose. I could have swept Desta off her feet and run off into the desert.
I was serious.
Well, then I could have protested, abused, fought. I could have seized Noor's glistening sword and plunged it into Khalifa's wicked heart.
But you did not.
No, I did not.
You had no feelings.
But of course. It is not the same thing. One may feel, but do nothing. To act would have been meaningless. It would have changed nothing, least of all the feelings.
But it would have been the correct behavior.
Ah, you mean the gentlemanly thing to do, a gesture.
Yes. Well, it is, after all, a matter of form. A man shouldn't back down, particularly when there's a woman's well-being and heart involved. One has to live with what one does.
Ah, but we live better, dear Chesney, with broken hearts than with broken limbs.
All right, Slatin. Best grub you'll have tasted for a year or two, I'll hazard. We miss one or two things up here, you know. The ladies, what? Will we make up for empty hearts with full stomachs? We don't seem to have made much of a dent in that beef. Are you having trouble on your
side? Oh, no, it's...
What, the knife and fork? Best silver, you know.
I'm sure it's the very best. I'm just not used to using a knife and fork. I've been 12 years without. I'm happier using my fingers.
Oh, good God, man, not in the mess. Oh,
don't worry, Hunter. I'll soldier on with them. I am adaptable, you know.
Well, you have to be, haven't you, with these dervish chappies? None of your own sort to keep your pecker up. No ladies, to keep you amused.
Oh, there were women with us. At times it seemed as if half the Mahdi's camp were women.
Oh, yes, yes, native women, surely. European women, English girls, Austrian girls, them's what I meant.
Oh, yes, there were sisters Cinciarini and Venturini. They were hostages, too.
Nuns?
That's right.
Well, a Catholic, are you, Svatin?
Hardly.
Well, they're nuns, yes, but no eligible women. That's what I'm getting at. You've had no home life, no love life, is what I mean.
He had his wife.
Wife? What wife?
My wife, Desta.
A native woman.
Oh.
She was a woman of the ancient family of the sultans of Darfur, and she was my servant. I married her after the fall of Darfur.
Forced you, did they?
No, I forced myself. She had good... family connections. I made friends through her. She gave me allies and a patient ear.
You've been through hell.
But they took her away from me to become one of the Mahdi's wives.
Ah, the mad Mahdi.
Oh, no. Not so mad. A holy man. A true prophet.
You saw him, did you? Met him?
Oh, yes. Many times, as the Mahdi's army drew closer to Khartoum and General Gordon, I could smell our meetings as they approached. The sandalwood, musk and attar of roses which he wore, the odor of the dwellers in paradise, and the pepper which he put under his nails so that in the presence of his followers he could touch his eyes and weep.
Well, I'm damned. What a trickster.
I can remember every occasion that his sweet smell mixed with my sour, my bouquet of servitude, the unwashed stench of a bush badger. We would meet at evening prayer. I would be in the second rank of worshippers behind my master, the Khalifa, and then the Mahdi would come to pray with us, bringing with him that lingering sphere of heavenly scent which cooled and enchanted those of us lucky enough to kneel within it. Oh, yes, he was a holy man.
Let all show penitence before Allah. Let all abandon all forbidden habits, the degrading acts of the flesh, the taking of wine and tobacco, lying, theft, and the clapping of hands, dancing improper signs with eyes, tears and lamentations at the bed of the dead, slanderous language, and the company of strange women. Say your prayers at the prescribed hours. Adore Allah. and hate not each other, but assist each other to do good. All those who do not follow these principles disobey Allah and Muhammad, his prophet. They shall earn torment in the next world.
There is one honorable way to die, one route to paradise. Die in battle. Die in the holy service of the Mahdi. Today, we are at the gates of Khartoum. It is only Khartoum and the infidel Gordon which stand between us and paradise. In the name of Allah, sweep them aside. We march victorious into heaven and eternity.
Allahu Akbar!
Allahu Akbar!
Abdul Qadir, why are you in the second rank?
As the Khalifa's servant, I do not think it proper to stand beside my master.
I value your humility, but from now on, stand with us in the front rank. For in the place of worship, we are all alike.
Your words are wise.
I hear them from the Prophet Muhammad in my dreams. Drink of my words, and that will be a great benefit to you. Come forward and pray with us. Are you satisfied? No?
Indeed, I am. And coming so near to you, I am most happy.
Allah bless you and your brethren. When news reached us of your battles against my followers, I used to pray to Allah for your conversion. Allah and his prophet have heard my prayers. And as you have faithfully served your former master for worldly riches, so now you shall serve me for the glory of Allah. For he who loves me and hears my words serves Allah and his religion and shall have happiness in this world and joy in the world to come.
Master, the man who does not love you more than himself, how can his love proceed truly from his heart?
Say that again, Abdul Qadir. Listen to him.
The man who does not love you more than himself, how can his love proceed truly from his heart?
You have spoken the truth. Love me more than yourself.
Master, I have one thing to ask you. Grant me one favor.
Let me hear it.
Grant me the honor of taking the oath of allegiance to you.
It is granted, Neil. Take the oath.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate and merciful, I pay Allah, Muhammad, his prophet, and you, the Mahdi, the expected one, my allegiance, and I swear to renounce this world and look for the world to come.
And are you now ready to prove with something more than words your new allegiance?
I have taken the oath.
Let us see then. If you have taken it to your heart, Nur! Bring the letter. Now, Abdul Qadir, will you tell us what is written here?
I will help if I can. Gordon's writing. Let me try to decipher it. I have about 10,000 men. Can hold Khartoum at the outside for 10 more days. Elias Pasha wrote to me from the Mahdist camp. He was forced to do so. He's old, incapable. I forgive him. No excuse for Slatin, though. He holds no principle dearer than survival. Not honor, nor nation, nor God. He fools the Mahdi, but not me. But then the Mahdi is a fool. An innocent fool.
Have you made out what it means?
I do not know who the letter is for, but it is from General Gordon. It is written in his own hand in a French cipher, which I cannot understand.
What do you say? Explain yourself better.
It is not the language of my tribe.
Gordon himself is one of your tribe. He is your uncle.
No, master, he is not. Compare our eyes. His are like blue diamonds. Mine are dark like yours. Compare our hair. We do not share the same tongue. I am your half-brother. I am no nephew to him.
Do not play with us, Abdelkadir. Translate!
There are words written here, the sense of which I cannot make out. Every word has its own special meaning and can only be understood by those accustomed to the use of ciphers. If you ask any of the old officials, they will confirm what I say.
I was told that the names of Ilyas Pasha and Saladin are mentioned. Is that so?
The man who said that told you the truth, and I can also read those names, but it is impossible for me to understand the reference. Perhaps the man who told our names were there can also make out the rest of the letter. Besides, I can also make out 10,000 in figures, but whether it means soldiers or something else, it is impossible for me to say. I would gladly have proved my fidelity to you, but it is out of my power. I think your clerks understand about ciphers better than I do.
Ciphers, ciphers, in the name of Allah, what do you mean?
Even if I never know what this paper contains, still Gordon shall fall and Khartoum will be ours.
It does not matter that we do not know what is said inside the letter. Allah knows. And if he sees fit, will reveal it to me in a dream. You, Abdelkadir, go to Gordon in Khartoum. Be my messenger. Tell him that I, Muhammad Ahmed, am the true Mahdi.
Tell Gordon to surrender at once to save himself.
And his soul.
Gordon will never surrender.
Tell him also that if he refuses to obey, we shall, every one of us, fight against him.
Say that you yourself shall fight against him with your bare hands.
Say that victory will be ours and Allah's, and that you merely tell him this to avoid the useless bloodshed.
I cannot.
Go. You have taken the oath of allegiance. Answer! Abdelkader, answer!
Oh, Mahdi, I beg of you, listen to my words. I will be honest and faithful. I pray you, forgive me if what I say is not pleasing to you. If I say to Gordon that you are the true Mahdi, he will not believe me. If I threaten to fight against him with my own hands, he will not be afraid of that. If I predict his death, he will not care. He cares no more for pain and death than a stone. He is not my sort of man. He does not understand your holy way.
Islam is like thine. No one understands its true nature but Allah, the Almighty.
Your words are wise, Master. Now, as you desire to avoid shedding blood, I too shall be wise and simply summon him to surrender. I shall say that he is not strong enough to fight against you, who are ever victorious.
And we shall be victorious again. Gordon is as stubborn as a freshly watered camel. But he will shift before the holy army of Allah. I have taken pity on some of my men and am allowing them to fight and die so as to obtain paradise. Tell him that.
Take the Mahdi's message to Gordon tonight, Abdelkadir. Bring his answer. And if it is not pleasing, we will destroy Gordon. Khartoum shall fall.
You must eat. We are under siege, and even the mice must dine while stocks last. Come on, it's quite safe. We are both God's creatures. Eat, and then we will smoke our cigars like gentlemen and discuss strategy. Maybe a little brandy with fish. Well,
it's me, Gordon Basha, for dining.
Come. Well, what is it?
There is a dervish to see you.
Another deserter? Another rat. No, Bordeni, I will not see him. We cannot bring rats into the presence of mice.
Gordon Pasha.
No, I will not see him. I do not wish to see him. This mouse and I are planning strategy.
What mouse, Pasha?
The Paris mouse. With what else would I dine and discuss? There's not one person on whom I can rely. I'm weary of life. Day and night, day and night is one continual worry.
Blasher, it is the brandy, not life, which depresses you.
Even His Holiness the Mahdi, for all his goodness, drowns his sorrow in date syrup. Well fermented date syrup, I might add.
Not as worrying as brandy, Basha.
But mixed with ginger and drunk from silver chalices looted from the Roman Catholic mission at El Obeid, date syrup has a special potency for forbidden fruits. But for drowning Gordon's sorrows, nothing so exotic. B&S. Let's serve.
Less brandy, more soda would serve better, Basha. And more sleep.
What? Will you ever tumble into troubled sleep, Bordet? There's no forgetfulness there. I wake to the drumbeat. Stop, tap, tap. Oh, yes, it comes into a dream. And after a few beats, I'm more awake, and after the idea dawns, I am Khartoum. And the next question is, where is this tap, tap, tapping going on? A hope arises that it will die away.
Basha, please.
Shh. No. It goes on, and the hope dies away. And the thought, have they enough ammunition? The excuses of bad soldiers trouble me even in dreams. Well, one must make an effort. Exert oneself, rise to the occasion. It is no use, one must get up. Arise, go to the roof of the palace. Then telegrams, orders, swearing and cursing. Another day of siege, God willing. More work. Would you have me tumble sober into that?
If you will not sleep, Basha, then will you see this dervish?
I will not speak with deserters.
He is not a deserter. He's an emissary of the Mahdi.
Is he so? Well, I like the true Muslim, dervish or no. He is not ashamed of his God. He likes him best after his animals. His life is a fairly pure one. Certainly he gives himself a good margin in the wife line, but at any rate he never poaches on others. Can our Christian people say the same? The Mahdi's messenger, indeed. Let him come. Oh, my mouse, hide away. The enemy approaches.
Good on, Pasha.
Yes, indeed. What is your message?
It is here, in a letter from the Mahdi.
So, read it.
Good on, Pasha. Know that I am the expected Mahdi, the successor of the apostle of Allah. I have no need of the wealth of this world and its vanity. I am but the slave of Allah, and Allah has succored me with the prophets and the apostles and the cherubim and all the saints and pious men to revive his faith. Gordon Pasha, add love of Allah to your virtues and you will be a perfect man. In the name of God, I send herewith a suit of clothes, a patched Mahdi's jipper, an overcoat, a turban, a skull cap, a girdle, beads, a prayer mat. This is the clothing of those who have given up this world and its vanities and who look for the world to come, for everlasting happiness in paradise. If you truly desire to come to God and seek to live a godly life, you must at once wear this suit, surrender Khartoum, and come out to accept your everlasting good fortune.
Surrender Khartoum and deny my God? Who do you think I am? That wretched turncoat slatted?
No, Your Excellency, I know that you are not. I better than any man.
Well, I take it you are something more than you appear, a dumb messenger. You have a tongue of your own.
Yes, I am Rudolf Slatin.
Slatin? Well then, sir, you are much changed in your dervish garb. And even though your features are now reminiscent, your exchanged soul is not. I have no remarks to make to you, Abdul Qadir. I will not have you masquerading with a Christian name. I will, however, have you ejected from Khartoum and sent back to your own people.
Gordon, I have fought 27 times for the government against the Mahdists, and they have beaten me twice. I have done nothing dishonorable, nothing for which I should be ejected from this city.
Surrender or apostasy, then, are not dishonorable.
Does your excellency believe that to me, an Austrian officer, the surrender was easy? It was
one of the hardest days of my life.
Which I hear you celebrated by marriage.
I married as an act of kindness to a loyal servant.
I understand, too, that you play mouse to the Khalifa's cat. You eat the scraps from his plate, you sleep outside his tent, you scamper beside his horse, you sit cross-legged like a Jewish tailor beside him at the mosque. Such loyalty.
Would it serve me better if I were to throw him from his bed or toss him from his horse?
It is the service of another, a greater one than yourself, that I had in mind. The service of the Holy Father of Man.
Gordon, it is true that to live long, or even for a short time in the Caliph's household, I have had to develop talents, how shall I say, not regarded as admirable in Europe. To stay alive requires humility.
Humiliation.
Servility and shrewdness, this I admit. But I am alive.
So?
And by his submission and obedient behavior, I have attained a certain degree of confidence amongst the local magnates and have thus received permission to come to you.
So why come to me? What advantage is there?
I have certain intelligences about the Mahdist forces which may...
Yes, and we'll leave here too with certain intelligences about Gordon's forces. No, sir. We have nothing to say to each other. We have no intelligences to exchange.
What if I were to stay here in Khartoum?
Ah, is that it? No, sir. You will not remain here unless you have your master the Mahdi's positive leave, and that you will not get.
Do you then desire that I stay a prisoner?
It is no concern of mine where or what you stay, except that I will not be the agency, Abdul Qadir, by which you break your parole to the Mahdi. It is a sacred given to him as to any other power, including the holy power of God.
Of course, I would not break my word unless...
Don't think you will save your face and your honor with subtle, sweet reason, Dervish. You are what you are, and I can see it. I will not be duped into thinking that you are a Christian and a gentleman merely because you control your temper and regulate your tongue. This is not Paris. I know that game. You play us all the same, and why... So that all will think well of you. That is your creed. So that whatever the upshot of these events, you have a home to go to. Well, Abdul Qadir, there is no home here. Your place is with that feeble lot of stinking dervishes beyond this window.
Take care, Gordon. Do not go too close to that window. I know the Khalifa has posted sharpshooters to pick up any person who appears there. It is known as Gordon's window.
It is Gordon's window. And Aggie, I shall stand.
I beg you.
You will not curry favor by concerning yourself with my life. I am dead already. I died long ago, and it will not make any difference to me. I am prepared to follow the unrolling of the scroll. Bodini! Bring a large lantern.
What are you going to do?
I will survey my realm. Come to the window, Abdul Qadir.
I think not.
Look at this city. Life goes on after fashion. It's curious how quick the people forget their disastrous losses. Down there, men are gossiping, children playing, soldiers are sleeping. It is only 10 days ago that we lost nearly 1,000 men. Yet no one speaks of it now. It takes about 4 days to obliterate the bitterness of a disaster. Betrayals of faith take longer. Eternity.
Here is the lantern, Pasha.
Good. A light on the world. Come to the window, Abdul Qadir. Let us see how sharp are your dervish marks.
Be sensible, Gordon. You are endangering your life.
Pasha, come away.
Who has said that Gordon was ever afraid? When God was portioning out fear to all people in the world, at last it came to my turn, and there was no fear left to give me. Go, tell the Mahdi. Go tell the people in Khartoum that Gordon fears nothing, for God has created him without fear. I stand here in this light at this window, shoulder to shoulder with my God, and I am fearless. Abdul Qadir, now you stand with me. Bring your God to the window.
I will not.
You will, sir. Because if you do not, I will put a bullet through your treacherous heart. See, here, my revolver is on the table. Come closer, or I will shoot you like the dog you are.
I have a choice of bullets, then.
Come to the window. The choice is not yours. You are in God's hands. There.
Of course.
During your blockade, I have often discussed with another mouse the question of being frightened, which in the world's view a man should never be. For my part, I'm always frightened, and very much so.
A Gordon fears nothing.
That is not fear of death. That is past, thank God. Any instant a pellet of fast, hot blade can speed across the river from a dervish gun and find me here in the light of this window. You too, I don't care, you too. But no, that is nothing to me. Let it come! I do fear defeat. Not in battle, but before God.
I have survived both kinds of defeat. Death, I fear.
Death is not an enemy, but a friend. A liberator. It will free us from the captivity of this fleshly body. Shoot them, shoot! My body is yours! Take me from this world. It's a hard prison house with hard keepers and hard rules. We are in cells, solitary and alone, looking for release. Release me, then.
You have made your point, Gordon. Now, I would be thankful if you would put on your revolver and that lantern and let us continue our business in this civilized...
Come away, pleasure.
Stay, fool. Why, save your body when you have thrown away your God and your soul. The body is an evil thing which the soul must live in until it is released at last from the journey to heaven or hell.
I beg you, Gordon, I beg you, let me move away.
Now stay. We will draw one bullet. One bullet. We must test the flesh and learn that all the flesh admires is doomed. It is as useless as the dust to which it must return. The flesh worships idols of silver and gold. Its praise is the praise of men. Its fears are for what men may say of it. Cursed is the man who makes flesh his arm. As crucifixion was a slow process for our Lord Jesus Christ, so is the slow death of our flesh. It makes us yearn for complete deliverance. In my dreams, I speak to the prophet Isaiah and ask for advice on what...
Get down! Get down!
Let me go!
Yes, Abdul-Kadir. Flee into the darkness. God has decided that you should suffer more in this world before he takes you to suffer further in the next. Evidently, you are not a Spartan. If I get away, I shall take you to the Congo with me. You will want some quarantine, I think. I feel sorry for you.
You may be set on taking heaven by storm and taking Khartoum with you, but I shall not come. I will be eating caviar in Vienna when you are dead and long forgotten. I promise you that.
And I promise you one thing, too. Torment in the next world. I would sooner live like a dervish with a Mahdi than eat caviar in Vienna or London or Paris. My soul revolts against dinner parties and stiff shirts and the presence of ladies and the shrugging off of gods over good cigars.
If God is a myth, then let men throw him off.
What? And pledge their souls to His Holiness the Mahdi?
Let them do whatever is appropriate. Do not underestimate the piety of the Mahdi. He is as fleshless, as much a fanatic of mysterious impulses as you. His convictions are as firm, just as eccentric, just as conventional. You are mirror images. You have said nothing which he would not say himself.
Except, of course, Abdul Kadir, that I have the Bible, and he does not. I am a pebble in the rock of Christianity, but he, what is he? Not even a grain of sand in the desert of Islam. The Islam of the Mahdi, Abdul Kadir, to which you have submitted yourself, is rejected by most Muslims in the world. It is a local heresy, and you and he are heretics. But here... Here in Khartoum, where the word of God is under siege, we have the Bible. There is myself, and there is the Bible. Together we will move onward into the future.
Except that you are a man of the past.
We shall see. I have kept faith. I have held my honor in this 19th century of our Lord. My flesh and my heart have been tempted, all sorely tempted with Sodom and Gomorrah and the open press of Mammon. But I have held firm. I have not surrendered. I have stayed true to my time. I am the chisel which cuts the wood. The carpenter directs it. But you, Abdul Kadir,
don't even have a toehold in this century. You have relinquished all its values, everything that is worthy of a Viennese Victorian gentleman. You are not a 19th century man.
Then I am a 20th century man. I at least shall live to see it.
Yes, indeed, at the cost of honor and soul. Do you imagine that surrender and apostasy will be in fashion in your 20th century? Then I rejoice that I shall not live to see it. For then you will be the gentleman and I the cad. Oh, dear. I will give you one chance. Redeem yourself. Take my Bible in your hand. Turn your back on false prophets. Pledge yourself anew to Jesus. Beg forgiveness for your sins, and I will let you stay here, despite your word to the Mahdi.
You will let me stay there?
Yes. Take the Bible.
But you cannot hold Khatrum.
Think of your soul, not of your life.
Is that the choice?
It is. Save your life with a Mahdi, or save your soul with Gordon and Khatrum. We will die together and ascend into heaven. Here, take it and stay.
No, I think not. If Gordon of Khatrum says the town will fall, then I prefer to be outside its walls.
Then go, goddamn you, go! And take those dervish rags back to the Mahdi. I will not wear them. I will not shame myself in your coat of many colors. Here, take also this red fez from my head. Give it to your master, the Mahdi. Tell him to come to me in surrender, and I will be generous. I will make him sultan of some small town. Now get out, Abdul Qadir. Go. Go! Wretched dervish. My lady!
Yes?
Beerus, bring more brandy.
So I left Gordon alone with his god and his brandy and remained for 10 more years a prisoner of the Mahdi. But all that time I cherished Madibo's advice and was patient. People got used to me. I talked like a Mahdist. I dressed like a Mahdist. I was just another Mahdist. Nobody bothered to notice me anymore.
And so you escaped.
Yes, I escaped. And without taking a single risk. I didn't steal a horse or a camel for my flight. If I had and had been recaptured, I would have lost an arm and a leg. That was the Mahdist law. No, I went at night to the Khalifa's compound and took from it my own horse. That horse and I had been captured together, and together we escaped to Aswan. Another freedom. European freedom. And that, gentleman, is my story.
Not quite what we banked on, Slatin. Well, you mustn't forget that you are Austrian, of course. It wouldn't do to judge you by our own English standards. Still, I suppose that you have been brave in your way.
On the contrary, Archie, I think he's made it quite clear that he has been anything but brave. In fact, he has skirted bravery. You have not been listening.
Perhaps that would be my salvation in Europe. Deaf ears, closed minds.
Look, old chap, you've had a hard time. Things will be a bit muddled for you just yet, but they'll straighten out. Best not to mull over things too much. That's true what you say, Slatin. I do turn a deaf ear to some of what's been said. But for your own sake, we don't want a lot of dirty washing hung out in public, do we? You get my meaning? There are some things which trouble a man's conscience which are best left unsaid, I think.
But, Archie, don't you understand? Slatin's conscience is not troubled. I think he's proclaiming himself as some new sort of man.
20th century man.
Yes, yes, George. Let's not confuse the issue, shall we? What I'm driving at is that it'll all seem proportionate in, well, a month or two, when Slatin's seen his own people, got himself straight and whatnot.
But I am to talk after dinner in a few minutes.
Yes, but it's just a little chat the fellows will want. We don't want to hear anything. Put anyone in a bad light.
I tried to warn you, Archie.
You know the sort of thing that would go down well, Slatin. Fire and sword in the sedan, a bit of action, some of the dashing stuff about Gordon. We don't want a lot of religion, do we? Not with cigars and port, eh, what? We've had no word, you know, about the way he died. We know he's dead, of course, and that scoundrel Gladstone went to the theatre the very night the death was announced. A tragic loss to Queen and Empire, but not to Mr. Gladstone, evidently. You know how Gordon died, do you?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Well?
No, Slatin.
I suspect, Archie, that we would do well to hear what Slatin has to say before he relays it to the men.
Ah, a bit of a preview. Very well, then.
I was in chains, but I could hear the blast of the cannon and the cries of the injured. Then, in the evening, it
grew quieter, and the cry went through the camp that Khatum had fallen. No word came for a while about Gordon, and then I heard. A group of the Mahdi's best men had broken into the palace yard. Gordon appeared, alone, at the top of some stone steps, but none of them seemed willing to go up and face the Pasha. He waited for a few moments and then began himself to descend. He was armed only with a light cane. He passed the first man and the second and the third, turning them aside with a glance. But the fourth man cried out, "Oh, cursed one, your time is come," and sank his spear into Gordon's heart. His only reply was a gesture of contempt. No Christian martyr thrown to the lions, nailed to the cross, or burned at the stake had ever met death so lightly, so carelessly. He fell and died on the last step into the palace courtyard.
A noble death.
Indeed. The end of a true hero.
No, not quite the end. Later that evening, I was asleep in my hut, dreaming bad dreams. All around me was the din of victory. That brute Nur and two of his men woke me and threw something wrapped in blood-stained cloth onto the ground at my feet. "Unwrap it," they said, and they watched with triumphant faces. I unwrapped the cloth. Inside was Gordon's head. His face, which had been brick red and weathered, was bloodless and white. His eyes were half open, peeking out from his skull with childlike sincerity. His hair and whiskers were as white as his face, except for black matted streaks where his blood had congealed. Nur picked the head up and held it in the light. "Is not this the head of your uncle, the unbeliever?" he asked.
"What could you say?"
I said, "What of it? Happy is he to have fallen. His sufferings are over. Allah, in his goodness and omnipotence, will convert him in death from an infidel into a believer."
That, sir, was not a gentlemanly thing to say. Gordon had died a Christian.
Yes, and he was dead.
And you were alive.
Exactly. I slept that night as I had not slept for months, and troubled, despite the chains at my ankles and throat, despite the grisly, congealing head at the foot of my bed, a deep and peaceful sleep.
Slatin.
I slept because I knew I had won and that I would come through, God or no God. I would come through without heroism, without pride, without loyalty, without a code of conduct. I will come face to face with the 20th century because I give, I bend, I twist. Gordon, all those dead heroes, that Egyptian officer who was whipped to death, all those lives laid down in the name of imagined gods and shadowy loyalties, they were iron men.
And thank God they were, sir.
Iron heroes who would not bend. They could learn nothing here. They arrived fully equipped, portable habits, pocket gods. I traveled light. I was a survivor. I woke from my sleep, startling the flies on that severed head. Already, Gordon was less recognizable. I knew that I had been right. There was the evidence. The flesh that decays.
Stop now, Satin. For your own sake.
No, Chesney. It must be told. Once, at least. They came in the morning and took our friend away. They fixed him between the branches of a tree. A diseased and dying tree, which stood in the public highway a few yards from my hut. A thorn tree. The hawks of the desert, the kites that went with the wind, swept and circled round him until, growing bolder, they settled and feasted on his icy blue, colour-blind eyes. All who passed him threw stones at Gordon's head. I myself threw stones.
Sir, you go too far.
Listen, I'm almost done. Soon, Gordon's head was just a dried knot of skin, indistinguishable from the cankers of the tree. Then, 5 months later, the Mahdi died.
Yes, poisoned by a woman he had outraged.
No, that is a European tale. He died of typhus. Oh, that settled me, vindicated me, to be able to see from my hut that tree and that grand tomb, the last resting places of the Christian knight-errant and the warrior priest of Islam, united at last, free forever. Suicides!
Sir, it is better, I think, that you keep such talks to yourself. We are not seducible. Gordon was a Christian, a hero, and a gentleman. You have shown that you were none of these things. But you are our guest, and I must insist that if you speak, you keep your scurrilous recollections to yourself. The men will not stomach them. Now, I warn you.
Do not worry, Hunter. Haven't you understood? I am nothing if not apt. Your men will hear what they would want to hear.
I have to survive here as much as I had to survive there. It goes on. Death holds no heaven for me. Exposure offers no secret reward. With the Mahdi, I needed to be a Muslim. With you, I need to be a gentleman hero. I am adaptable. Oh, you will not understand because you are a soldier and have been taught to shake your fist at clouds. But I am an adventurer, a 20th century man, and you can trust me if I must speak to be appropriate.
Gentlemen, our guest of honor, Rudolf Slatin.
Gentlemen, thank you. Gives me great pleasure once again to be back amongst my own kind.
Here.
The story of the Mad Mahdi's seizure of the Sudan and surrender of all loyal troops except those of Gordon and Khartoum is well known to you. My dear friend Gordon held out, but the rest of us, unprotected in the unchristian depths of the desert, were less blessed. As an officer, the idea of surrender to such an enemy was repulsive in the extreme. I had no fear for my own life, but the very word surrender was repellent to me, and doubly so when I thought over the consequences which must follow. To me, a European and a Christian, alone amongst thousands and thousands of fanatical dervishes, the highest of whom I would in happier times consider inferior to myself.
A Coat of Many Colors was written for radio by Jim Crais. Rudolf Slatin was played by John Rowe. The Mahdi was played by Saeed Jaffrey, and General Gordon by Trevor Martin. John Hollis played Major Harry Jackson, Sean Arnold, Captain Archie Hunter, and Michael Cochran, Captain George Chesney. Hamed was played by Nigel Graham, and Desta by Valerie Sarouf. Louis Mahoney played the Khalifa, Willie Jonah, Nadibo, and Fred Broby, Noor. Neville Rafaela played the merchant and Major Hamada, and Hermione Gregory, Hamada's servant. The play was directed in our Birmingham studios by Michael Rolfe.
And now, just before the 10 o'clock news, a look at the weather prospects. Tomorrow, most of England and Wales will be rather cloudy, with showers or longer outbreaks of rain, and a few brighter intervals, chiefly in central and eastern parts of England. Scotland and Northern Ireland will have rain or sleet, with snow over high ground. And in North Scotland, there'll also be some snow over low ground. Clearer weather, with wintry showers, is expected to reach western Scotland and Northern Ireland in the evening. It'll be very windy in most parts. In the south, temperatures will be near normal, but in the north, it'll be rather cold. And the outlook for Monday and Tuesday. It'll continue unsettled and windy, with showers or longer outbreaks of rain, with snow in the north. Sheltered parts will have night frost. And that's a look at the weather. Radio 4. It's 10 o'clock.
BBC Radio News at 10 o'clock. Mrs. Thatcher has told Conservative Party workers that whether the government manages to survive a few more months, weeks, or even hours, the result will be the same. Labour have now passed the point of no return. The Transport Secretary, Mr. Rogers, has dismissed Mrs. Thatcher as a one-woman disaster area for Britain. There's to be some last-minute bargaining over the details of the Egyptian-Israeli peace treaty before the signing ceremony in Washington on Monday. The Northern Ireland Secretary has spoken of an insidious campaign to undermine public confidence in the police. Belgian police have arrested a man in connection with the killing of the bank official on Thursday. The comedian Ben Lyon has died, so has the actress Yvonne Mitchell.